Good morning. Welcome to worship on this incredibly beautiful day. I am pleased to be with you, and I am hoping that this will be a Sunday worship service that each of you will find helpful as you continue your journey through this coming week. I know that we have a number of visitors and guests with us, and I'm not in the habit of embarrassing people by asking them to identify themselves or stand, but to all of you who are visiting with us from here and far, a heartfelt welcome. It is good to have you among us and to make certain you know how things flow around here. We have worship service part two in the Jonathan Edwards room, but we are also going to, I believe, have some other activities after worship. And I hope you will want to be here for the beverages, for the food, for the activities, and of course, for the wonderful interaction and conversation that we can have with one another. So please do make yourselves part of that. We wholeheartedly and welcome and invite you into it. I know that we do have some announcements, but prior to that, I want to make certain that we welcome Sean Stevens. Sean is with us today, and he is helping us to commemorate this Mohican Sunday, and he will be working with the children in just a little bit. Pardon? Okay, I thought I missed something. I know we have other announcements, so I invite those who would like to make an announcement to step forward. Or up. There we go.
Thank you. My name is Deb McMenemy, and I'm chair of our Pastoral Search Committee. So if our guests could just bear with me for a moment, I'd like to update the congregation on the business of the church. The search committee has been very active all summer. As a matter of fact, we've met just about every single Sunday. And unlike Don, I would like to invite all the members of the search committee to stand up so that you can get a good look at them and see who we are. Please, all of you, just stand up for a moment. Thanks, guys. There's been a great deal of work being done. We have reviewed 48 applications. There's been an abundance of applications for this position, and we're really very blessed and grateful. We've narrowed our search down to a few candidates, and we've started interviewing people via Skype. And we've done this. We've interviewed a woman from Florida, and a man from Rhode Island, and a woman from Connecticut, and we have another Skype interview scheduled this week of a man from Boston. So we're narrowing in on our search. We're actively pursuing and doing the best we can to find the best minister for all of us. So I just wanted to give you that update. And if you have any questions, you've seen who we are, so please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb, for that important update. Are there other announcements? Sarah.
Good morning. It's nice to see you all and to be back, and I especially want to thank the choir for being here on this special Mohican Sunday. And I just would like to welcome Sean Stevens as a spiritual brother and also a musical brother, and to tell you that I met him last year. He was giving an ancestor healing ceremony in Richmond, which is the town where I live most of the year, and I was so impressed with his ability to share in a way that seemed mutually beneficial for everyone, and for his spiritual focus, which I think many of us share, and that's how the invitation happened. So that's why he's with us today, and we're just so pleased that he flew out from Wisconsin to be here this weekend. And there was some other Mohican guests here yesterday. Many of you probably heard the president of the Mohican Nation speak at the Laurel Hill Day at 2:00 yesterday. And Sherry White and Joanne Shedler have also been here this weekend from the Mohican Nation. Unfortunately, they had to travel today, so I invited them, but I don't think they're going to be here with us today. But we are blessed to have such a panoply of our Mohican brothers and sisters with us this weekend. So thank you, Sean, for coming. Yeah. And after church, Sean will lead an informal honoring of the land and of the ancestors out in a circle in front of the church. So I also wanted to thank especially Terry Weiss and the Mission in Action Committee for sponsoring Sean's trip and also feeding us after the service. Thank you.
And of course, Sarah is our guest organist today. Many of us have enjoyed her music and her leadership in the choir for some time, but today she's a guest, and I hope you will also continue to enjoy that music. Last Sunday, I made an announcement and said that I would be more clear about it this Sunday. Next Sunday, getting all three Sundays here, we're going to have a search committee from another congregation, and because we are providing a neutral pulpit for a candidate for another United Church of Christ congregation. And that candidate will be here and will lead in the worship service. And I am not going to tell you any more information because it would be inappropriate for me to do that for both that congregation and the candidate. But that candidate will grace our pulpit next Sunday. And I hope you will be here to participate and be part of that. Are there other announcements? I invite us now to prepare ourselves for worship.
Come, God's people from north and south, east and west. Come, God's people of every race and nation. Come, God's people, male and female, young and old. Come worship our God and take heart knowing that you are welcomed here.
We come from everywhere, and though we are each unique, we are all alike as a church creation of God.
Come, God's people, and be filled with the Spirit as you sing. Make melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything and for each other. Let us join in prayer. Eternal God, we humbly request that you grant us the wisdom to hear you in the words spoken and in the unspoken acts of love and empathy we both give and receive. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit that embraces the beauty of all you have made. Make us your witnessing community, prepared and determined to heal our world and each other. With gratitude we pray. Amen. Let us join in the first hymn, number 267, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Please stand as you are able.
Oh,
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people and to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." And the Lord adds his blessing to the reading of this word.
And at this time, I invite both Sean Stevens and our children to come forward and have a time together.
Thank you.
You are invited to share in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer and preface to that. It is printed in the bulletin as Our Creator, but you are welcome to use Our Father, Our Mother, Our Creator. You choose how you would like to address the name of God. Let us be in prayer. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, we are going to welcome into associate membership a person who has asked to be part of our congregation. It is always a high moment in every life of every congregation when someone says, I want to be part of you, and I want to worship and work with you. And this morning, we are going to welcome into our membership and into our embrace as a fellow congregant, Ruth, also known as Dee Dee, Virginia Bronson. And I am going to invite her to come to that spot right there in the front, and we will welcome you into membership. Please, and those who want to stand with her, please come forward. Dee Dee is a lifelong resident of the Berkshires. She has lived in Great Barrington for many, many years, and continues her membership at the UCC Church in Great Barrington, but has recently relocated to here in Stockbridge, and finds that she wants to be closer to a worshiping body where she can be with people who will also welcome and embrace her. So with that, she has chosen to become an associate member. Well, I'm not giving up her membership at the Great Barrington congregation, but of also being a member here. Would you like to tell the people anything about yourself?
Grandmother.
And the last one was what?
I love Irving.
Okay, love Irving. Okay. Well, everybody loves Irving. Yeah. Well, it is with a great deal of pleasure and honor that I am and we are able to welcome you into membership of this congregation. And I would like to ask you a few questions, and I ask for your response. Dee Dee, are you ready with God's help to guide and encourage you through example and prayer to love and to follow the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please respond, I am. Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of a new life in Christ? If so, please respond, I will. Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord? If so, respond, I do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best as you are able? If so, please respond, I promise, with the help of God. Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow in the Christian faith, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please respond, I promise, with the help of God. Becoming a member, becoming affiliated with a congregation, is a community of faith. And it is not just one person joining us. It is we are all becoming joined together. Therefore, you too have a response to Dee Dee at this time. It's printed in the bulletin, and I invite you on page 3 to join your voice with the rest of ours. And you do not need to be a member of this congregation to recite this. If you are a person of the church, you are welcome to join in this. Will you join your voice? We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love, and be witnesses to the teachings, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In preparation for our time of stewardship, our time of giving, I share with you this thought. It was said of A.A. Hyde, "This man is rich but beloved, not for what he has earned, but for what he has given away." He started a small soap and drug business, and from it he developed a product called mentholatum. The business began to grow. As it continued to grow, he gave more. First, he gave 10%, then 20, then 30, then 40%, and finally, he gave 90% of his income, sort of a tithe in reverse. We are not remembered for what we have gathered in. We are remembered for what we have given away. I invite the ushers to be among us this morning for the offering, the collection of this morning's offering.
Oh, thank you for this sweet night.
We thank you for the hot fire and water, no glasses, stones, and soft wind, tall trees, and beautiful flowers, wild grasses, and medicine cures.
We thank you.
The next passage of Scripture to be read this morning is taken from the Ephesians. It is from chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Hear these words. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, sing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God, the Creator, at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that ends the reading of the Scriptures for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth It is good, again, I say, to be among all of you. And I know that in our worship service today, we have quite a large number of clergy, active and retired. And to you, I give even another heartfelt welcome. And for what I'm about to say is probably going to resonate with some of you. You see, while searching for some ideas this past week, and also possible stories about wisdom, that I discovered that there is a clear shortage of wisdom sermons. There is a clear shortage of stories about wisdom. And I came to a maybe an unfair but yet a resolve that perhaps a possible explanation for that is maybe both good and bad news. It might be that most preachers are humble enough to know that they should not talk about wisdom, for therefore it will show how little we are. That is both good and bad news. I love the humility. But yet, there is a great deal to be said about what the scriptures share about wisdom. The people of wisdom have been in my life, and I think there have been people of wisdom in everybody's life and your life. I bet you could name them as you sit there now and remember the wise folks who have walked with you and who have guided you throughout your years. Most of them, for me, have been older people that I remember from my youth who would tell me important things that some that stayed with me yet through the rest of my life. But they all seem to have been from people of a long time ago. Out of curiosity, I perused some of my old files, my own sermons, and I discovered that I never preached a sermon based upon Proverbs. Never touched it in all my years. I never preached a sermon about Solomon. And so I found myself wondering what to do with this passage. I did discover something about Proverbs that if you don't know about, you should. It's most interesting that the book of Proverbs is a collection of treasured sayings of families from ancient Israel. And those sayings were passed verbally from one generation to the other, and ultimately they were put into written form into a book. And most interesting, even beyond that, is they were designed for teaching royalty how to behave. They were also designed for teaching people who govern how to behave. Now, somehow, that all made its way into the Bible, but it was not originally intended to be something for spiritual help. Perhaps that's the reason that not many people preach on them, as I have not. I suspect most people have pieces of wisdom that have been given to us by a parent, a grandparent, or a sage person that we might remember from our youth. Recently, I was told how a parental instruction was given a long time ago, and I suspect mostly it was a maternal instruction that was given. You've heard the phrase, "Don't forget to wash behind the ears." We've all heard that. You know where that came from? There was a reason for it. It came at a time when people only bathed once a week. And when they bathed was on Saturday evenings. And the reason they bathed on Saturday evenings was because the next day they were going to church. And a mother did not want to sit in church and have somebody sitting behind their child and looking at dirty ears. Wash behind the ears. That, as I discovered, I later thought, it makes sense now why so many people like to sit in the back pew. Wisdom is not a quality that a person awakes with one morning and says, I have become wise. If there is a path to being wise, it must include in it being attentive to all things that are around us. It includes listening and seeing and understanding. From today's Hebrew scripture, we hear the story of Solomon. There was competition for the kingship before Solomon became king. And the pollsters of his day were betting on someone else other than Solomon to become king. It was kind of like the Truman-Dewey presidential election of 1948 that I hope that all of you remember the historical importance of that when on the night before the election results, it was announced that Truman didn't have a chance and that Dewey was going to be the next president of the United States. Well, it was a foregone conclusion, they thought. Well, they also thought it was a foregone conclusion that Adonijah, the son, the fourth son of David, was going to be the king, not anyone else. Well, that didn't happen. Solomon became king, and in the process, within short order, Adonijah became a very serious threat to Solomon, and in turn, Solomon had his brother killed. It was after that murder, that Solomon had a dream. And in his dream, God's voice comes to him and invites him to ask for anything that he wanted, anything, and he was going to be granted it. God offered Solomon a blank check for anything he wanted. Do you remember as children when we might imagine finding the magic lamp, being washed up on the beach, or maybe in an old junk pile? We find the magic lamp, we rub it, and poof, a genie appears and offers us three wishes of anything we would want. I imagined that when I was a child. I imagined such things, and I also remember imagining what I would want. I would want a lot of money. I would want a bigger house to live in. Other people would wish for wealth as well, power, great health, talent. After all, if you're going to be given a blank check to make a wish, ought you not make it for something really, really big? Well, Solomon was given that, and he didn't ask for anything personal. Not a thing. Didn't ask for one thing for himself. He didn't ask for one thing that was selfish or vain. Solomon instead asks for a discerning heart, or as it is also translated, an understanding mind. He wanted the ability to discern between good and evil, and he needed that skill and that wisdom to govern his people and to govern them well. And that request pleased God. God was pleased. If you were able to ask God for one thing, just one thing, what would it be? What would it be? The story of Solomon gives us a clear message that God takes pleasure in our interest to serve other people, that God does not take pleasure in our interest to serve ourselves. God seems to have no pleasure in that at all. My friend and mentor from years ago was a wise man, even when he was much younger. I thought he was very wise. And one day, he allowed me to take a peek into his private prayer life. Not many people do that. Even we clergy, at least I am, I'm kind of protective of that. But he allowed me a peek into his private prayer life. And he told me that when he prayed, he found it important to ask God for help in a variety of ways, but not as we might suspect. He told me that he found it important to ask God for courage when he was very, very afraid. He told me that he asked God for those moments when he was wounded that he might find the ability to endure. He said when he was unable to understand, he would ask God for help so that his mind might function as well and as clearly as it had been created to be. When he was unable to understand, he would ask for his mind to function better. When he was angry, he said he would ask for calmness. And then after all of that, he added, "You know what's most interesting? Is when I ask for such things, I receive them. I do." What would you ask for? What would you want? James Howell is the editor of Lectionary Homiletics, and he recently published one of his sermons, and he said this, and I quote him, "You may believe in God, and you may strive to be faithful to God, but how do you sell or squander your giftedness or place your private endeavors before God and God's work? How do you do that?" And then he concluded by saying, "What is your but?" We all have the buts. "But I really wanted that. But I really was going there. But I really hope for something else." What is your but? If you read the Proverbs, I think you will discover that they are all grounded in service to other people. I'll give you some examples. "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." It's about others. "The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it." Something for others. "A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of his righteousness will never be moved." The root of his righteousness will never be moved. Something for others. "Wisdom is more than knowledge." Don't confuse the two. I'm going to say something, but I'm really, really cautious about what I'm about to say, because I think somebody here may think I'm picking on something that I should not be picking on. I'm going to check out something very quickly before I go there. How many of you have either attended or graduated from Harvard? I know one behind me has. Two? Three? There? Oh, four? Okay. Well, I will not pick on Harvard University because it, in all honesty, is one of the finest universities in the world, and that is well known. It's not even debated. It is indeed. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who picked on Harvard. And Ralph Waldo Emerson spoke these words about that university. He says, "It has all the branches of knowledge, but none of its roots." Wisdom is what's under the surface. Wisdom can and will nourish others just as roots nourish a plant or a tree. It's wisdom, the roots, that are grounded, and I don't have any pun intended on that, to do the nurturing for others, and it's far, far easier to declare, "But I happen to like the branches and the leaves much better. It's that which I really enjoy." So what is your but? What is the but that prevents you from becoming the root instead of the branch? What is it that holds people to embracing the branches rather than being the roots? The buts we use are the vehicles we use to turn things inward rather than outward. The Christian message that was repeated time after time after time by Jesus has the same message. Seek to serve others, and in doing that, God is going to be pleased. Serve others and not yourself. So what is it you would ask for? Is it wealth? Is it power? Is it health? Is it something that serves you well? Or is it what you ask for to be a discerning heart, an understanding mind that can help others? Solomon asked for the latter, and it says that God was gracious because God was pleased, and God gave Solomon what he asked for. I think God will do the same for anyone. For you, for me, for anyone. Ask for something that is for others, and God will not disappoint you. Amen. The next hymn that we are singing is being taken from page 490 with glad, exuberant carolings. We will be singing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. I invite you to stand for the singing of this hymn if you are able. Thank you. Please be seated. We are about to enter a time of prayer, and preceding that, it is important that we give everyone the opportunity to share aloud a joy, a concern, a sorrow that you might have. That way, each one of us who hears it can include it in our own pride.